We need to be warned about the wickedness that is coming upon our land, that is putting us in grave danger. Now, I know this is not a popular message to proclaim. It is not a popular message to speak about, especially in our day and age. And some might think this is a rather sensational introduction to the message this morning. But we must be clear, and God must be heard, and God's voice must be heeded, and all other mouths must be shut, and all other voices must be silenced. The Word of God has declared that the sword of the Lord is set against all wickedness and all evil and all sin in the land. And it is poised, ready to judge those who refuse to heed His call and to heed His warning. Today our land is being oppressed. Today our land is being attacked. Not by an outside invader or an enemy that seeks to jump our borders and take over our cities, no. But we are being raided by an enemy from within. And this enemy desires to rip apart and tear us apart and tear at the moral fabric of our lives and of our people and of our land by changing and distorting the standard of God's institution of marriage that He has given and seeking to normalize a perversity in its place. Now, we must speak candidly, we must speak directly about this. This effort is being led by those who hate God, by those who hate Scripture, and by those who hate you and I as Christians. The unashamed liberals and homosexual activists want to overturn our values, and they want to influence our homes and our children and our lives by telling us that same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships are normal and are an acceptable way of life. Friends, today we must wake up and realize that there is a war going on. It is a war and a battle for the future of our country. It is a battle over the future of our own lives and our families and our children. And we must rise up and warn our people and fight this assault for the sake of our future and our country. Today we must hear and see what God has said about the sin of homosexuality and what we as God's people must affirm and fight for as His standard for human relationships, for marriage, and for life as we know it. This is not a time to be passive. This is not a time to be sitting on the sidelines, comfortably sitting there, doing nothing. There is a wave that is coming that is going to crash upon our land to seek to destroy one of the most fundamental and important underpinnings of our culture and our society, and that is marriage and the time-honored institution of marriage between a man and a woman. Now, we must speak openly, we must speak candidly about this, and I understand that this is not an easy subject to address. But given the circumstances in our land today, we must be the watchmen that God wants us to be and sound the alarm. And I know that many of us may find that as Christians, or you as an individual, or you as a parent with a family of your own, young or old, children alike, that you're not directly affected by what some people want to do with their own lives outside of your four walls. I know that you might take that attitude of, well, since it doesn't cross the border of my home and my four walls, then, you know, what's the big deal? But we must understand what we're dealing with here. It is not something simply being confined to the privacy of homes. It is not something that is being confined to some dark private room somewhere. And this is not something that is being confined to some red light district in town. No. This behavior and this lifestyle has now moved into the mainstream to take over and to change the values of our nation as a people and to change the culture at large. And if you haven't noticed it, we're now being told and we are now literally being commanded that we must accept homosexuality as a normal way of life. We are being told that we must give approval and we must give the same rights to same-sex couples. Otherwise, we are discriminating as if this is a race of people that are suffering injustice and prejudice and whatnot. And if we know better, we must not hinder someone else's rights and constitutional rights on and on and on. And under the banner of freedom, we are being told we must not only accept this lifestyle, but we must embrace it. And we must normalize it. And we must legitimize it for marriage. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a watchman for God, as a watchman for the people of God, that's not how God sees it. Not at all. That's not God's view of it at all. God does not approve of such an alternative to marriage. And before you start getting upset with me about speaking so directly and so candidly about the subject, we all need to hear and listen to what God has said about homosexuality. We must see that God has a very different opinion about the subject. And then once you see it, you must decide whose side you're on. Because God has not been ambiguous about it. He's not been ambiguous about how he feels. And just like every other sin in the Bible that leads to death and destroys, God is not on the side of sin. And this is indisputable, as we will see. Now, if you haven't heard me clear enough already, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin. It's a sin. And for those who are listening or who may have never understood what sin is, let me tell you what sin is in a nutshell. All sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's murder, whether it's rape, whether it's stealing, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, etc., etc., is at its core rebellion against God. That's what it is. It's a flagrant disobedience to God's word and his law. And this is why we today are living in such darkness. This is why the world is the way it is. It's because of sin. Sin is everywhere. Sin is having a toll and taking a toll upon our culture. And sin, the Bible describes it, is a criminal act against God himself and against his set forth moral law, which has been given to us so that we might have life. He gives us his word. He gives us his law not to box us in, but he gives us his word so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So God says, okay, thou shalt not, or you shall not do this. And we say, when we sin, well, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is rebellion. And this is what sin is. And Scripture says that God has given man truth. God has given man light. God has given him instruction for life and prosperity. But because we love sin and we love the darkness, we would rather choose to do our own thing and even disobey and rebel against his word. Even despite the damage that we will do to ourselves in carrying out in that sin. And so, homosexuality is a sin, and it isn't just a little benign sin. In the eyes of God, it is called an abomination. This is to say that like every other sin, which is egregious in God's eyes, no doubt, when God says something is an abomination, he is saying this, that it is truly repulsive to him, that it is absolutely gross, that it is abhorrent to him, that it is foul and detestable in his sight. It's repugnant before him. And it, in fact, is so deplorable before him that to the children of Israel, he commanded instant death for the parties who engaged in something like this. You don't believe me? Well, here we begin to see the standard of God and how he feels about it. Leviticus 19:2 says, speak to the children and the congregation of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And then in chapter 20, he says this. He says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be on them. He repeated it in Leviticus 18 as well. He said, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, some people might say, well, come on, Pastor. You know, that was then. This is now. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, his moods do not swing, and his values do not swing left or right like ours do. He says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. And within the chapter here, as you look at Leviticus 18, even 19 and 20, God lists out all types of deviant sexual behavior and sexual sins that he commands his people not to engage in, lest they defile their land. In fact, the bottom line reason is because if they carry on in these types of sins, they defile the very land that they walk on, such as incest, adultery, fornication, bestiality, homosexuality, as we already said. All of these, God says, are perversions, and they defile the land. He said in Leviticus 18:24, "Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these things the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you." And then he said, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you, lest the land vomit you out when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you." So you see here, it really doesn't matter what land it is, because even before God promised the land to Israel, the land was vomiting people out because they were committing these sins. God says these sins defile, and they defile us as a people, and they defile our land. And so they are nothing less, as the Scripture would say, than perversions and abominations to him. But the sin of homosexuality is not only considered and called an abomination in Scripture, it is also, another way of thinking about it, the Scripture calls it wickedness. Wickedness. Turn over to Genesis 19. The book of Genesis in chapter 19, we have an account of an entire city that was destroyed, along with surrounding cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, as you might know, being destroyed by God for, in particular, the sin of homosexuality. Genesis 19, 1, begins by saying that God had sent two angels to Sodom in the evening. And Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom, Lot being the nephew of Abraham. He was living in Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, and you'll pick up why. So they turned into him, and he entered his house, and he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, here it is, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." And your version of the Bible might say something like this, that we may have relations with them. And if you have the NIV, it's even more explicit, saying so that we may have sex with them. In verse 6, Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and he said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so," what? "Wickedly." Do not act wickedly. Do not do this wicked thing. See, the Bible sees homosexual behavior, first and foremost, as a wicked perversion of sex. Sex that God has given us between a man and a woman. And in traditional marriage, this is a beautiful thing. But when it gets perverted, it is an abomination. It is a wickedness before God. For a male to have sexual relations with another male, or a female to have that kind of relationship with another female, is a wicked thing before the Lord. And the reason why it is wicked, and wickedness, as Lot would describe here, is because these perverted men, as you look at the story, they wanted to sexually abuse the angels. That's why it was wicked. And at the same time satisfy their own personal perverse sexual appetites. They had become so abusive of one another in this area and in their immorality that the angel of the Lord said to Abraham, back in Genesis 18, before he and the two others went down to Sodom, the Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave." He says, "I will go down now, and I will see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me." So the abusiveness was so bad. The abusiveness had gotten so terrible that the cry of injustice and the cry of exploitation And the cry of mistreating one another in this way had gotten so bad that God heard the cry of the abused. He heard the cry of the injured. He heard the cry of the exploited, and he sent his angel to judge the wicked who were perpetrating such an evil. Now, one thing we must be clear about, aside from all the rhetoric that we hear today, and again, we must be candid and speak clearly, aside from all the rhetoric about love and commitment and fidelity that homosexual partners want to have, and they're telling us that that's really what it's all about, listen, at the root of all homosexuality is the carnal desire to carry in and carry on in this deviant form of sex with one another. I know that's pretty explicit, but that's what it's all about. And why is it deviant? Because it is unnatural. Unnatural. It is contrary to nature. And it is contrary to how God made us and how we function as human beings and how we are to function as humans. Listen, homosexuality left to itself and just kind of let to run rampant and run loose, you know what that leads to? A slow annihilation of our society. A slow death of our people. Because homosexuality short circuits the process by which God gives us to reproduce and propagate life. That fact alone proves the dangers of homosexuality. It's a danger to society. So homosexuality only produces what the Bible says are the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. So homosexuality doesn't produce life, it produces death. Physical death, both from a reproductive standpoint and a personal health standpoint. So it is sin. And the wicked thing about it is that it is not God's design. It is contrary to God's order. It is an abomination to even say that this is an acceptable practice for humans to engage in. Now, I know some people are not going to like that assessment, and I know that's a very strong point of view, but this is what we must proclaim. This is what we find out of the Scripture. We are watchmen, and we must proclaim the truth. I must proclaim that to not only many of you who are believers here, but I must proclaim that to the unbelieving world. And why? Why must we be warned today? In fact, why must we be warned this morning? Well, because God's word and his standard for marriage and human relationships is under attack. That's why we need to be warned today. We are under siege, under attack. And as many of you know, there are men and women in the public arena who are seeking to undermine traditional marriage, seeking to, and if they had their way, they would do away with traditional marriage altogether. But someone might persist and say, well, hold on, Pastor, why is it that the two can't coexist? Why is it that they can't just live side by side? Because God says no. Is that a good enough answer? This is an unnatural thing. It is a perversion of his creative design and his purpose and his intent. We don't have the authority to change this. We don't have the right to dispute this just because we like and because we want to. But you and I know that there are many in our society who really don't care and give a rip about what God says or what he's, you know, has declared in his word. In fact, that's another battle going on today in our society, right? Get rid of the book. Get rid of the Bible, and you get rid of the very premise and basis for our belief. But what I have found really disturbing is that even some in the church have bought into the compromise by saying, well, if it doesn't hurt me, or if it doesn't hurt someone I know or someone I love, then why should we be concerned about it? Just leave them alone and kind of let them live their life and do as they please. I personally know people who think like that and live like that. And I know we live in America, right? I know we have freedom, and I appreciate that freedom. In fact, it's my constitutional right to be able to stand up here and say to you what I believe God has said in his word and take a stand and say that. I understand that it's my freedom to do that, and I appreciate that. But here's the reason why this matter, here's the reason why this matter cannot be confined to a free speech issue or a leave me alone, let me do whatever I want issue. because homosexuals aren't simply content living their private lives in peace. They want the rest of us to affirm them. They want the rest of us to give them license for this behavior. And once you tell me that I now have to recognize you and your sinful way of life and even teach that to my children and make that a part of the public school curriculum as an alternative to traditional marriage and expose my children to your sinful behavior, well, then you have just crossed the line. You see, homosexuals are not simply content living in peace. They have an agenda, and they want to legalize, really, their immorality on all of us. And they want affirmation. They want the rest of us to embrace them, I think, personally, to help them feel better about what they're doing and give them the same rights, even as we as heterosexual couples are enjoying. So this is an imposition. This is an imposition that is happening to our nation, and it is an attack on the structure of our society and the Word of God. But here's the real issue. If I may digress a bit here from the teaching, here in California, we already spoke as a majority that marriage is only to be recognized between a man and a woman. Here in California, the majority of us already said and affirmed that this is what we believe and what we want. We already spoke that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And it was the ratification of Proposition 22, if you remember that, back in the year 2000, where 61% of our population affirmed this and affirmed this definition. Now, that should have been enough to say to everyone, okay, this is the majority, this is the law of the land, because the majority voted, and as far as the state is concerned, this is now law. However, because there are sinister forces going on behind the scenes, because there is a greater agenda at large operating behind these people, they will not rest. They will not rest until we all affirm them and we all accept them as normal and valid. But we all know better than that, don't we? And because the state courts, our California State Supreme Court, has caved into the pressure, the California Supreme Court decided to overrule the law of the land, to overrule Proposition 22 that was voted in by the majority of the people, and say that it was unconstitutional. And these judges, without any permission and without legal authority, really, legislated from their bench and overturned Prop 22. That is why the floodgates opened up, you remember, and why it was opened up for homosexual marriages to occur in San Francisco and all around our state just this year. Let me tell you, this is a massive, massive violation of the public trust and even the judicial system. You should be concerned about that happened. Because when you have judges who overstep their bounds, when they, instead of just interpreting the law, they start changing the law and legislating new laws that they think are good to pass on simply because they want to and think so, well, that is a massive violation of your freedom and rights. And then at that point, you have started to tear at the fabric of our orderly society. That's what's unlawful. That's what's unconstitutional, if you want to just be open about it. There is a process to follow. There's a process, and the losing side should have followed it. Not usurp the rule of law. Not take things into their own hands. But I'll tell you, this is indicative of the type of people that we're dealing with and the type of agenda that is behind them. Proverbs 14:34 says this, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Listen to that. Righteousness exalts a nation. When we do what is right, when we follow God's will, when we do what is righteous in God's eyes, our nation is exalted, but whenever we allow sin and we let sin run rampant, guess what? It is a reproach to each and every one of us. That means it's a hardship. You will suffer hardship. I will suffer hardship. That's why I tell you, church, this is not a time to be passive. This is not a time to be just sitting on the sidelines. We need to stand up. We need to protect the marriage institution that God has given us and fight for righteousness in our land. Now, let me remind you once again as we close what God said to Ezekiel. Back in Ezekiel 33, he said, Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Speak to the people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land set up their watchmen, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Nevertheless, he who heeds the warning will save his life. Now God says, he does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in the destruction of the wicked at all. In fact, he wants them to repent. That's his heart. That's his desire. And we all must speak the truth of God in love and with respect, and don't compromise the truth. Speak up. Stand up for God's truth. If they are aggressive with you, which that could be the case, always seek to love and respect homosexuals. Always. In order to lead them to Christ. If God's desire is that they repent and turn from their sins, so should your desire be. We're not here to condemn the world. Jesus even said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to what? Save the world. And so we must do as well. Save the world in love and respect. And most importantly, share the gospel with them. Right? Tell them about Jesus. Because it is the gospel alone, as we heard today, which is the power of God for all who believe to shatter those chains of sin. We speak God's truth in love. We speak firmly, but in love, to reach the lost. And those who hear you, God may save. And those who hear you and they reject you, you keep praying for them. And you keep sharing with them as often as you can to reach them for the Lord. And I'll tell you, if we stem the tide of evil in our land and we stand for the truth, God will bless us. God will bring blessing upon us. He will pour out his blessing and give us peace.